a few months ago, a bumper sticker on the back of a truck, which contained only a few words, caught my eye. In addition to the wording that identified the company which generated it, were just a few words which read, "Trees are the answer." Rather clever on the part of the company, actually, in that it gets a person to kind of think. If trees are the answer, what are the questions, or what are the problems that apparently only trees can solve? My guess for the intended point of the bumper sticker is that trees do some wonderful things, both for the environment and for the landscape. Trees are truly beautiful to look at. Perhaps you have heard that familiar, famous line, "I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree." And they also clean the air and provide nesting areas for birds and other animals. Trees are also the answer, however, for some theological questions of great significance. The first of which is, what device was used by the devil to lure our earliest ancestors into sin? The answer is a tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Though in itself it was perfect and pure, the devil was able to use it as part of a temptation, first toward Eve and then Adam. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And you know how things unraveled from there. Not long thereafter, when the woman saw that the tree, that is the forbidden tree, was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The devil craftily entrapped the first two human beings through his lies about that tree. He used the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as part of the deception which brought ruin upon every member of the human race. Paul explained, "Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." The devil twisted the truth about that tree which God had placed in paradise. Instead of standing now as an opportunity for Adam and Eve to show their faithfulness and love toward God, it became a tool through which the devil brought destruction upon all people. That tree, however, was not the only one that would have tremendous significance. Already in eternity, God knew that mankind would fall into sin. He knew that there would be a tremendous need for a drastic remedy that would rescue the human race that he had so carefully created and dearly loved. A remedy which would have at its center a tree. Tree not only answers the question of what device the devil used to entrap and cause the downfall of our first parents, it's just that we don't usually refer to it. Oh, sorry, it's also that which the Lord used then to rescue mankind. It's just that we don't routinely refer to it as a tree. More commonly, we call this tree of the remedy a cross. Now, crosses, of course, are made from the wood that comes from a tree. Next time you're in the music room, you might take a look at the painting, the poster of the painting, in which the artist depicts the cross of Christ very much still bearing the look of a tree with bark and other tree markings. More important, though, is the fact that in a few places, Scripture itself refers to the tree on Calvary in that way, as the cross as a tree. In his first epistle, Peter said that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And in his letter to the Galatians, Paul declared, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Paul is there quoting from the Old Testament law, which states this: "If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day. so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. In this part of Galatians, Paul was deliberately referring to the cross as a tree in order to underscore the fact that Jesus was cursed. A point that was particularly difficult for some of the people of his day to accept. Apparently, one of the reasons so many of Paul's fellow Jews rejected Jesus as Messiah was the fact that he died in such a manner, and they knew that anyone who dies by hanging on a tree is cursed, and they could not accept the fact that the Messiah was cursed. But that, of course, is the central point of the gospel. It's precisely because Jesus was cursed in our place that we have been freed from condemnation. Since Jesus unleashed all of the punishment for human sin on Jesus, he no longer has to punish for our sins. Through his death on the tree of Calvary, Jesus reversed all the destruction that the devil brought about to mankind in connection with that tree in Eden. And that makes the tree on which Christ shed his blood the greatest of all. Through the blood that stained that tree, our stains have been removed. And for that reason, the Christian church has made as one of its themes historically during the season of Lent that dramatic difference between these two profoundly important trees. On page 25 of the Lutheran hymnal, which you don't have this morning, are printed the various prefaces, historic prefaces to the Lord's Supper for the various seasons of the year. And the distinguished or the designated preface for Lent reads as follows. Who, Christ, on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord. What? That preface is conveying a very profound scriptural truth, the one that we've been considering this morning. But it is not written as clearly as possible. If someone is not really concentrating when that preface is read during Lent, it's likely that he or she will miss the point. So I asked Pastor Naumann what he said when I heard him get to that part of the liturgy on March 3rd. He said the following. Here's approximately how I put it. So he adjusted it a little bit. Who, Christ, on the tree of the cross, gave salvation unto all sinners that, as death came from a tree, life might rise again from a tree, and that the devil, who by a tree once overcame, might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome through Christ our Lord. A much clearer wording, I think, of this profound biblical principle, that he who brought ruin into the world by means of a tree would be brought to ruin himself through the tree of Calvary. Yes, the tree on Calvary is the answer to the question of what device God used to rescue us from eternal destruction. For it was on that rugged Calvary tree that Jesus was cursed in our place. It was on that rugged Calvary tree that God secured the gifts of his grace. Tree of which we sing this morning in the form of hymn 561. It is a, I believe, unfamiliar, relatively recently written tune. The organ will play through the entire melody, and then all four stanzas will be sung.